Okay, everybody, let's talk about SIBO retesting and duration of treatment here. So, with SIBO retesting, one of the first questions is whether or not to retest. And some of the considerations of whether or not we repeat our SIBO test that was once positive are as follows. So, one is cost and prioritization of other testing. So, if people are on a budget, if people have only so much money to pay for their lab testing, and there's other tests that we need to get done, we may decide to prioritize other tests over a SIBO lab test and base some of our the stopping of the SIBO treatment upon symptoms. So that's another thing, of course, that we're going to consider is retesting based upon symptoms. Now, it's a little bit tricky to base a retest based upon symptoms sometimes because there can be multiple root causes of any disease process. And if somebody is reporting that symptoms are not changing, while that is usually a sign that we are not making progress with SIBO, because usually we do see, even if there's multiple root causes, that by treating something like SIBO, we will see at least some improvement of symptoms and of that root cause changing in severity. But not always. Sometimes there's other root causes that are so substantial and playing such a big role that we may not see symptoms change, but still have lab improvement. So that's, that we have to just be aware that if we're tracking things with symptom changes, we may decide to retest if symptoms have largely changed, but we also want to make sure that we're not, just making an assumption that just because symptoms have not changed, that we're not making progress yet. Another thing as far as retesting is comorbidity. So what we're talking about here is what other symptoms do they have besides their chief complaint? Maybe you ran SIBO because of IBS symptoms. Maybe you ran it because of autoimmune disease. Maybe you ran it because of headaches. So depending upon the level of comorbidities and other types of symptoms and chief complaints this person has, may basically cause us to prioritize other tests that are also going to be associated with their comorbidity. Psychology. So here's a big one. When it comes to symptoms changing, and like I said, symptoms sometimes do not change right away with the treatment of SIBO. Oftentimes they do, but sometimes we'll see that there is actually improvements with somebody's SIBO lab test prior to having symptom changes. And this can be very exhausting psychologically for somebody because they are paying money, because they're taking their supplements, because they're putting in all this effort, and they're not seeing changes in how they feel. So sometimes it's worth considering retesting just for the psychological assurance of this is working. Maybe you're not seeing symptom improvements yet, but we are seeing changes in the lab, so we know that what we're doing is working. And then what are they in your office for? So this is also in relationship to the prioritization of tasks. So if somebody is in your office for, let's say, fibromyalgia, let's say they have joint pain and pain all over their body, and SIBO was positive, but they don't have a lot of IBS type of symptoms, and there's a lot of other root causes that you need to get to in order to address that underlying pain and fibromyalgia. You may, in that, situation, decide that, okay, it's worth from a cost perspective, it's worth prioritizing other tests so you can have additional data versus doing this retest. So those are all things to basically consider and to talk through people, with people on an individual type of basis. So a general guideline, we want to make sure you have general guidelines of understanding when to retest and when not to. So a general guideline is if people are 90% better in their symptoms that were associating with SIBO and their budget is limited, it might be best to apply the funds elsewhere. Okay, and in that case, if you are not retesting, you do want to base your treatment timing and the end of your treatment upon symptom resolution. So that's basically one way of looking at this. Now, if less than 90% better, And the budget will allow for retesting. It is a good idea to retest. And then this is a really important thing to explain. So the way we explain this to our clients is retesting is always the best idea, right? The best idea is always to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that SIBO is completely gone. Because if not, recurrence is going to be more likely. If we're just basing this upon symptoms, so I've seen situations where we retest and symptoms are largely gone, but there's still a significant amount of SIBO left. But that person is feeling so much better so quickly, and their symptoms go away, that if we're basing it just upon symptoms, we do have a higher rate of recurrence. So what I like to do is present this information to my clients and basically say, hey, there's a lot of other lab tests that we need to do. If you're on this budget where we have to prioritize due to your budget, then I would recommend most of the time that we use the money to basically find other information and base our end of our SIBO treatment upon your symptoms. But the risk that we're running in that situation is that we're going to base it upon your symptoms, and there's going to be a little bit of lingering SIBO. And because we did not retest, we're not going to know that, and we're going to stop the treatment too early, and it may come back. But the risk that we take by not running some of these other lab tests is we're not even going to know what other things are happening in order to treat. So I basically tell people the pros and cons. I give them my recommendation that if they can retest, we want to do that. But if their budget's not allowing it and we have a lot of other tests to do, then we basically will apply, then we will avoid the retest, and we will basically stop the treatment, not based upon the data from the retest, but based upon the elimination of symptoms. Now, even with retesting, even if we see that SIBO it has completely eradicated, recurrence is possible, and it's not a sign of failed treatment. What it is a sign of is not treating that underlying root cause of SIBO well enough that we went through earlier in the SIBO module. So it's really, really important that we are not just treating the SIBO, but are really treating those underlying root cause mechanisms, because that is going to hugely be a big factor with SIBO recurring. So I like to prepare people about that with this, and I like to prepare people that recurrence is possible. Now, we want to be careful about creating like a nocebo type of effect where people are going to hear something and almost like self-create it just by their self-doubt and stress themselves out, and stress is a precursor to SIBO. So we want to make sure that we're really saying this in a way where we are not creating a nocebo type of effect where they're going to think about the disease process and self-manifest it, since research says that can't happen. So the way to kind of talk about people in regards to recurrence, even if testing is showing that SIBO is negative, is saying to say that recurrence rates are high with SIBO. The way around recurrence rates and what's going to give you the best chance for recurrence not to occur is to treat the root of why SIBO happened to begin with. And so the next part of the treatment client that I'm going to give you is going to help do just that. So it's going to be really important that you follow this treatment really well, because that's where we see that people have the best result and the best chance of recurrence not happening. Now, clients, if you happen to have some of your symptoms that we are associating with SIBO return, I need to let you know, I need you to let me know as soon as possible so that we can go back and start retreating SIBO again. So if people have symptoms recur, when symptoms are gone and if they start to recur, if the symptoms are identical as before, most of the time, especially if the symptoms are digestive, people know when they have SIBO recurring. So in this situation, yes, it's again great to retest, and if people have the funds to do that, retest them for sure. But if people do not and the symptoms come back, we recommend just treating, again, based upon those symptoms. And the treatment we recommend, if it does recur, you can do whatever the treatment was that worked the last time because you know it was effective. So that's generally what we recommend as far as retreatment. Okay, so SIBO retesting option one. So there's a couple different ways we can determine when we are going to do the retest. So you've treated them with pharmaceutical medicine or with herbal medicine or with the elemental diet. So depending upon the type of treatment will often depend upon when we're going to retest. So if we're using pharmaceutical treatment, one option is to test immediately upon the stopping of medication. If using herbal treatment, another option is to test around the 2-month mark of treatment. If using the elemental diet, test upon completion. And so with the herbal treatment, testing around the 2-month mark of treatment, you would treat them for 2 months, you would stop the herbs. So an option, this option one is really do this treatment course, whether it's the 14-day antibiotic, the 2-week herbal treatment, or the completion of the elemental diet, which hopefully is at 14 or 21 days. As soon as it's completed, then we retest. The option two is actually to test before finished with treatment to determine whether or not to stop. So if using pharmaceutical treatment, we could actually test 1 week into the treatment. If using herbal treatment, test around the 1.5 mark, so there's still 2 weeks left of the protocol. And if using the elemental diet, test about 7 to 10 day mark and continue until the test results, continue the elemental diet until the test results come back. So in this situation, we are going to be still utilizing the treatment while we are retesting. So they're not going to stop their antimicrobials while we're retesting. And so the question is, what method to choose? The method of option one, where we're testing at the end of treatment, one of the thought processes behind that method is that we want to make sure that somebody is off of their pharmaceuticals because we want to make sure that there's not going to be a false negative that is occurring because of being on pharmaceuticals, which is why it's recommended to stop pharmaceuticals or stop herbal antimicrobials prior to doing a SIBO test. So that's kind of the philosophy of option one. The philosophy of option two is that, hey, these antimicrobials may not matter as much as we think, and we don't want to stop in the middle of treatment, because the thought of philosophy number two is that some of the microorganisms could start regrowing if we stop the treatment and it's not time yet. So those are basically the two different philosophies. And obviously, with option number two, when we are doing the prep diet and preparing for the test, we're going to ignore the prep diet instruction or the preparation test instruction that's going to tell us to stop all antimicrobials. Versus with the first option, where we're going to test at the end of treatment, we would generally wait that 2 weeks after the end of treatment to make sure the antimicrobials are out of our system before retesting. So in general, we've seen some value in doing both. What we have a tendency most frequently to do in our clinic is to basically retest using option one. But either one is valid. We're giving you both of these options. There's different philosophies for both. So either one we can make a case for. So in general, pick an option and try it and see how it works for you. Now, considerations about how many rounds of treatment to do. So if somebody is not feeling better symptom-wise, an advantage of testing is to see if the treatment is working, but it just hasn't caught up with symptoms yet. Another thing that we will sometimes do if it feels like we're getting a mild improvement in symptoms, but they're not getting better, you know, the symptoms aren't largely improving, is even though we generally would retest, for example, with herbs around a 2-month mark, sometimes if people are mildly better but not hugely better, we might just decide to keep going on that treatment for another couple months before testing. So consideration about how many rounds of treatment to do. So that's largely based upon a combination of the symptoms and of the lab results. So if we do, for example, if we do a round of rifaximin and neomycin, or a round of herbal therapy, or a round of elemental diet, and we retest, and literally nothing has changed, or maybe it's gotten worse, then we do want to continue treatment, but we might decide we're going to switch up our treatment because it's not working. That's why it's good to have an herbal treatment and multiple herbal treatments, a pharmaceutical treatment, and this elemental diet treatment. Now, we've seen the elemental diet work so well. It almost never fails. But it's a really hard diet for people to get to stick to, and we find that most people do not want to start there. So consider how many treatment rounds to do based upon if symptoms are gone and if lab tests are normal, switching up treatment when appropriate if people are not getting results. Another thing to understand is that the methane-producing microorganisms are known as archaea, and they basically can consume some of the hydrogen gas and convert it into methane. So sometimes we have a situation where methane looks normal and methane looks high and hydrogen looks normal or normal low. And that can be that some of the hydrogen is being converted to methane. Remember, methane is CH3. So it has a lot of hydrogen, it has 3 hydrogen molecules in it. So upon retesting, if we have high methane and normal hydrogen, what we can sometimes see is that methane level will come down and hydrogen gas is elevating. And so sometimes this can freak people out if they see this, but this is actually a positive finding because the hydrogen that's appearing there was actually always there. It just wasn't showing up on the lab because it was being converted to methane. So seeing if we have a methane value that's decreasing and a hydrogen value that's going up, that actually tells us we're moving in the right direction. And it's a similar principle with hydrogen sulfide. Remember, hydrogen sulfide is going to take so much of that hydrogen that those values are going to go down to 0, 1s, and 2s. And we can see that as we start treating hydrogen sulfide, that all of a sudden we don't have 0, 1s, and 2s anymore, but those hydrogen values are increasing. So these are all things to consider upon retesting. So again, making sure that you are retesting, thinking about the treatment type you're doing. You're going to retest earlier if you do a elemental diet or a pharmaceutical treatment for SIBO. And then deciding, do you want to test based upon before they're done with their treatment, in which case you would ignore the antimicrobial rules as the prep diet, or do you want to retest after they have stopped their treatment for a couple weeks? Making sure you're considering things like budget and symptoms and other lab tests that you need to do to determine if you're going to retest. Okay, we'll see you in the next lesson.